Week one is in the books. Michigan with a 40-21 win over Middle Tennessee State. Plenty of reaction to that game. We'll get you ready for a challenging non-conference game this week against Army. Some thoughts on the Big Ten, weekly picks, and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on this week's edition of Hail to the Pod. Welcome to this week's edition of Hail to the Pod. I'm your host, Kevin Rich. As always, you can email the show, hailtothepod@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, @krich23, and you can download and subscribe to the podcast anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. That includes Google Play, Apple iTunes, and Spotify. Subscribe to the podcast, and anytime there's a new episode each week, it will automatically get downloaded to your listening device. Week one is in the books. How great is it to have college football back? I mean, there were some great games last Saturday. It was kind of tough to watch the Auburn and Oregon game with the Michigan game going on at the same time. But certainly once the Michigan game was over, if you flipped over to that game down in Dallas, you were able to see a great finish. I mean, what a finish in that game. That game lived up to all the hype with Auburn getting the last second touchdown there to win the game. Northern Iowa, they take Iowa State to three overtimes out in Ames. Iowa State narrowly squeaks that one out. You had Hugh Freeze coaching Liberty from a hospital bed. I mean, have you seen anything crazier than that? I can't for the life of me think of a situation like that that's happened in college football. And you talk about the upsets too. I mean, Nevada, they get the field goal as time expires to beat Purdue. Really cool scene in the locker room after, where a scholarship is given to the kicker after the game. Boise State, they storm back to beat Florida State in Tallahassee. Ugh, could you imagine being a Florida State fan right now? That fan base is up in arms right now, and they might want Willie Taggart's head on a silver platter. Coach Mack, he gets that huge win for the Tar Heels. And then the major stunner last week, Georgia State beats Tennessee in Knoxville. Oh my, this is why we love college football. But the team that matters the most to us, that's the Michigan Wolverines. And I was kind of disappointed this week in the national media, because the national media was very hot and cold on Michigan this week. You had national media that were very hot. They loved the offense. They thought the team played well. This was the media that you actually imagine watch the game, because the media that was cold on Michigan, they must have just looked at the box score, or you know, maybe they were watching the Auburn-Oregon game and saw Middle Tennessee State was up early and thought they would do better. But a lot of the arguments or commentary that I've heard from national media this week about Michigan, the ones that were a little sour on Michigan out of the gate, just didn't really make sense to me. I mean, Michigan put up 453 yards of offense. How often does a Michigan offense do that? And the way they did it, 233 on the ground, 255 in the air, they were really balanced. They were 4-for-5 in the red zone. How could you not like the no huddle? I mean, they're throwing the ball on first down. You know, Michigan of years past, you know, maybe run the ball on first down, get a yard or two, put themselves in a tougher position on second down. I mean, Michigan was throwing the ball first, and they were running that RPO, that run pass option, really well. They were taking deep shots down the field. I mean, how could you not like what you saw out of Michigan's offense on Saturday? And, you know, certainly you're going to get those week one jitters. You're going to have, you know, passes that don't get caught, coverages that are blown, things that the quarterback, you know, thought that they saw that, you know, they need to just kind of work through on game film and get better at. But overall, I thought Michigan's offense looked really good. I'm excited to see this offense continue to grow as the season continues. And one of the things that I was very optimistic and happy about is, you know, Michigan's got a running back. I mean, we learned pretty quickly on Saturday that Zach Charbonnet, he has really separated himself as the top back in that backfield. He looked tremendous in pass protection. He rattled off some solid plays for the Wolverines, and he certainly took that number one position in that backfield away from True Wilson and Christian Turner pretty quickly. I thought the receivers played really well, and that's without DPJ on the field. I thought Tariq Black looked great. You know, he had some of those cramps late in the second quarter, had to go to the locker room, but certainly came back out in the second half, which was good to see. Certainly you get nervous anytime Tariq Black comes out of the game, because a guy who's got so much talent and has had the injury bug plague him over the last few years. So it was great to see him back on the field and play well. I thought Nico Collins looked great. I thought the tight ends played solid. Sean McCune looked good out there. And let's give some credit to the offensive line. Hayes at left tackle. Harbaugh said after the game in his Monday presser, he said he graded out extremely high. And you know that Runyon, it's only a matter of a couple weeks, maybe even as soon as this week, that Runyon will be back in the lineup at left tackle. And Harbaugh said that Hayes could battle Mayfield for the right tackle spot. And that's just great to know. I mean, as a Michigan fan, how can you not be excited to know that you've got some depth there on that offensive line, an offensive line that we think could be the top offensive line in the Big Ten this year and one of the top in the country? To have that depth and have somebody like Hayes come in with Runyon out of the lineup on Saturday and play as well as he did is really, really good to see. But what about that quarterback controversy? Oh, there's a quarterback controversy brewing in Ann Arbor. That's all we heard all week. Give me a break. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Dylan McCaffrey just as much as the next guy, but pump the brakes on that one. I don't think there's a quarterback competition at all. I think Patterson's the guy. I think he's going to continue to be the starting quarterback. I love the fact that McCaffrey is getting playing time, and I think he's going to continue to get playing time. The fact that the guy is, 6'4", and he runs the ball as quick as he does. I mean, he looks like his brother Christian when he gets out on that field and gets past that line and starts making plays down the field. And we know he can throw the ball too. I'm just happy to see a backup quarterback play as well as Dylan McCaffrey does. And I think he's going to continue to improve. And yeah, maybe he does push Shea Patterson and get some more playing time, but I just don't see him being the starting quarterback. I think it's still Shea Patterson. And Shea Patterson, I thought, was pretty effective in the game on Saturday. And when they brought Dylan McCaffrey in with Shea, I think that's a package they're going to play around with a little bit more, because it kind of looked a little too gimmicky, if you know what I mean. But I don't think there's a quarterback controversy brewing in Ann Arbor. I think Shea Patterson is still the go-to quarterback there for the Wolverines. But great to know that McCaffrey is right there behind him and played as well as he did. Defensively, heard some things this week about, wow, Michigan defensively not as good as previous years. Gave up 21 points and 3 touchdowns to Middle Tennessee State. Give me a break on that. There's no reason to freak out about Michigan's defensive performance on Saturday. You know, when you look at it and really break down the 3 touchdowns for Middle Tennessee, turnovers caused 2 of them. And look at the field position that Middle Tennessee got because of those. They started at the 42-yard line when Patterson fumbled the ball on the first possession for Michigan. And then they started at the 33-yard line when Lavert Hill muffed the punt. So you give an opposing team great field position. And of course, at that point, they're going to do everything they can to get the ball in the end zone, and they did. And then the third touchdown, the 80-yard drive by Middle Tennessee, that was a drive in the fourth quarter with second stringers in for the Wolverines. And how many times did we see Michigan in games last year where they were pitching a shutout or holding the team, you know, under 10 points or so? When the second stringers got in the game, they gave up a field goal or they gave up a touchdown late. So ultimately, I thought Michigan's defense looked pretty good in the game. But the guy on the defense that was so impressive on Saturday, it had to be Ambry Thomas. What a relief to see that he was healthy and played. Of course, he had colitis over the offseason. They didn't know if he would get in the game on Saturday, and he did. There was some funny commentary on Twitter during the game and after the game about, you know, maybe that was a secret weapon, like everyone should get colitis during the offseason so that they can play that well. Certainly wouldn't wish colitis on anybody. That's a terrible thing. But, you know, just the fact that Ambry got out on the field and played so well. You know, he had the interception. He had the fumble recovery. Knowing that he's out there to go 1-2 at the cornerback position with Lavert Hill, that is huge. And then to know that they have some depth there in a guy like Vincent Gray, what a game that he had. He's probably like my defense number 2. You know, 1A was Ambry Thomas, 1B, or the second best player we saw on Saturday, had to have been Vincent Gray on the defense. What a game he had. He had 4 tackles, had a really huge series against Middle Tennessee in the second quarter. He looks like a star in the making in a secondary that we, you know, had some questions about going into the season. The linebackers, you know, we saw what we expected to see out of Hudson and Ross 8 tackles for Hudson, 6 tackles for Ross. I thought Jordan Glasgow played really well on the defensive line. He registered Michigan's 2 sacks in the game. Really, the only person on defense that freaked me out quite a bit was on that defensive line, and that was Ben Mason. He just didn't get a lot of pressure. He was getting beat on the line. You know, you hope for a guy that they raved about this offseason moving from that fullback position to the defensive line, for him to get the start. They raved about him during the offseason, raved about the fact that he could be an instant contributor right away. You just really hope that that's more of just getting adjusted in game and, you know, seeing some game film this week, and he can get better off that. Because if he's going to be that guy on the defensive line moving forward and continues to play games like the game that he did this past week, that is some cause for concern, because he really did not look good at all. But other than that, I thought the defense had a really good game for the Wolverines. On the special team side of the ball, that field goal kicking competition continues. I really just don't get it. I've always been the kind of person, just name your guy, pick the guy. There seems to be this rotation. Harbaugh said the rotation in his Monday presser was basically, you know, getting 3 points. So Moody comes in, gets the field goal kick, he gets his 3 points. Nordine comes in and kicks the next couple extra points. I just don't get it. I don't understand the rotation. Pick your guy. But Harbaugh makes millions and millions of dollars to coach, and that was his decision. And I'm just a lowly guy that talks about the team. So, you know, maybe he's on to something that I'm not on to, but I'm just under the impression that you should pick your guy and stick with him. But we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But overall, really pleased with the game on Saturday. Middle Tennessee was no cupcake on defense. That's a defense that Michigan put 453 yards up on. Scott Schaefer can coach defenses. He's got a decent one out there in Murfreesboro. They like to blitz and blitz a lot. And I thought Michigan overall did a pretty good job of containing that blitz throughout the game and finding the open players out in space. And again, how do you complain when a Michigan offense goes for over 400 yards and scores 40 points in a game? So all the commentary this week about, you know, Michigan's offense, not sure, don't know, what are we going to see? It was just bleh. Give me a break. 400 yards for a Michigan offense and 40 points is pretty damn good. And then on that defense, I thought the defense was much better than 21 points given up, looks like, on paper. So week one in the books, Michigan a 40-21 win over Middle Tennessee. And onward they go, a tough game this weekend as Michigan takes on Army in the Big House. So we talked about how Michigan fared in week one. How about the rest of the Big Ten? The Big Ten goes 12-2 last week. Not a bad record at all. Northwestern and Purdue, the lone losers there. Two disappointing efforts from those teams. Northwestern didn't shock me. You'll recall my pick segment that I took Stanford, the 6.5 points, and they ended up covering and won 17-7. But again, a 17-7 game, you know, really expected more out of Northwestern there. And Purdue was definitely the shocker. Nevada kicking the field goal as time expired to upset the Boilermakers. Of course, the kicker gets a scholarship after the game, which was cool to see. But a definite meltdown by Purdue there. And really a game they should have won, so that was a disappointment for them as well as Northwestern last week. I got to tell you, though, the teams I was most impressed with had to be Wisconsin and Penn State. Wisconsin, they go on the road to Tampa to play USF. That's a 7-win team last year. Wasn't that I expected Wisconsin to struggle, but, you know, talked about last week, they just didn't know who was going to play quarterback and play quarterback efficiently. You knew you had Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in the country. They were just so efficient. Taylor, of course, was a beast in that game. Had 200 all-purpose yards, caught 2 touchdowns, ran 2 in. Didn't know what to expect from that QB position. And Jack Cohn, I thought, was really efficient. He was 19 for 26 for 200 yards. Had those 2 touchdown passes to Taylor. Really impressed by Wisconsin in that one. And I was really impressed with Penn State. I know it's a home game against Idaho. It's an under 500 team from last year, but there were so many question marks about Penn State's offense going into this year. And I know, lowly competition, I get it, but with those question marks with Clifford at quarterback, who do you replace with the running back position with Sanders out? I mean, to put up 79 points and 673 yards on offense, that is really impressive no matter who you're playing. And that defense was as good as we expected. They held Idaho to 7 points. And really, those 7 points were scored with the backups in the game late and only 145 yards of offense for Idaho in that game. So I'd say Wisconsin and Penn State were probably the two most impressive teams last week. Of course, a lot of people would want you to think that Ohio State was. But other than that 28-0 lead that they had early, if you watch that second half, FAU made some huge adjustments on both sides of the ball. They constantly got pressure on Ohio State and Justin Fields, and they put up some yards and they put up some points too. So I would pump the brakes a little bit in Columbus. Not as dominant of a win for Ohio State as a lot of people are trying to convince you that it was. I think looking at some other teams in the Big Ten, you know, Michigan State, they showed exactly who we think they're going to be this year. Really good defense, but not much there offensively. Sure, I think it's impressive they held Tulsa to negative 70 yards, but they could not run the ball at all. Brian Lewerke threw for less than 200 yards, only had one touchdown. Really not that impressed from what we saw out of Sparty. And then other than Purdue and Northwestern losing, I thought we had a really disappointing effort from Nebraska. They barely squeaked by South Alabama. Sure, the score on paper, 35-21, but that game was a lot closer than the score would suggest. And I got to tell you something, they got to be careful. They got a big game this week against Colorado. And it's funny, all this hype about Nebraska going into this year as a team that everybody feels, you know, could win the West. They were picked to win the West by most of the media members in the Big Ten. They came out really flat. And, you know, you start to think, you know, you wouldn't really be surprised if it was Wisconsin or Iowa's division to lose again out in the West this year. And one of those trendy teams out there, really trendy pick in terms of a team that could have a good season, was Minnesota. They had to really row that boat out of some murky water to get that late touchdown in the fourth to get past South Dakota State. But overall, 12-2 week, week one in the Big Ten, not bad at all. Certainly Wisconsin and Penn State impressing me the most. And there's some really big games on the slate this weekend for the Big Ten. Really some intriguing games other than the game in Ann Arbor between Michigan and Army. And the couple that I'm looking at, Cincinnati, they go to Columbus to take on Ohio State. I think that one's a pretty intriguing game. I don't think, you know, Cincinnati wins that game, but they've got a much better defense than FAU. I think they're going to put a lot more pressure on that offensive line of Ohio State and a lot more pressure on Justin Fields. And it'll be really interesting to see how the Buckeyes go against that attack and how they look in week number two. I think Syracuse at Maryland, that's going to be a really good game. I think it's really rare you see a higher-ranked team as an underdog. Maryland's actually the favorite against Syracuse in College Park. I expect a lot of points to be put up in that one. You don't know, is Cuse maybe looking forward or looking ahead to that game in the Cary Dome against Clemson next week? They could be, but I think that game is a total toss-up. I'd give the edge to Syracuse, but I think that game is a total toss-up on who wins in a game that's going to have a lot of points scored. I think Nebraska-Colorado, that's definitely a game to watch after the Michigan and Army game. Colorado beat Nebraska and Lincoln last year. This game has shootout written all over it. I think there's a lot of pressure on Nebraska to live up to the preseason expectations. That's going to be a wild one. You've got Vanderbilt going to West Lafayette to play Purdue. Not really an exciting game, but just curious to see how Purdue rebounds after that loss to Nevada. And then you've got our friends from Kalamazoo. They head to East Lansing on Saturday night to take on Sparty. I really like Western Michigan's quarterback, John Wasink. He is so good for that team when he's healthy. You saw how good he was for that team last year before he got hurt. If they put up some points on Sparty's defense, that could be a really, really interesting game late. And more about that game in my pick segment later. But overall, some tougher games on the schedule for the Big Ten in week two, and cannot wait to see what the Big Ten does this week in college football.
Here we go.
Time to preview the matchup at the Big House this Saturday. Army comes to town to take on the 7th-ranked Wolverines at 12 noon. It's my pleasure to bring on Justin Fetich. Justin covers Army football for the Times-Herald-Record in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley. Justin, thanks for popping on the show. How great is it to have college football back?
It's pretty great. It's really fun. I went to my first Army game. This is my first season covering the team. So I get to cover the Army Rice game. And for anyone who got to see that game, it was a lot more exciting than many people expected. It ended up being a one-score game. So, I got thrown right into the fire there, and it looks to be rolling another one with a big game this week as well.
Absolutely. And let's start with that week one game. I mean, you hate to put a lot of stock into week one. You know, are there any concerns down at West Point regarding Army's performance against Rice last week? I know it was a sluggish 14-7 win. Rice, you know, they've only won a couple of games in their last two seasons. Offense only gained about 284 yards. Is that just one of those kind of lackluster performances you oftentimes see in a season opener? Or is there some cause for concern with the fans down there?
There is not that much cause for concern inside the team. I'm sure there are a lot of fans who are concerned, but just in talking to head coach Jeff Munkin and some of the players, they've had to gut out a lot of games before. It's kind of how they have won a lot of their games, even against inferior opponents like Rice. And something else to take into consideration is Rice went 2-11 last year, but this isn't the same Rice team. They got a lot of transfers on their team, and there's a lot of better players than they had last year. So although it shouldn't have been that close, this isn't a 2-11 type team. So, there's a little bit of concern, I think, from the fan base, and just, from my eyes watching it, going from Rice to Michigan, it's obviously a huge step up. And, they did start slow, and it took them until the fourth quarter to really, the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter to really get going. And that's a little bit concerning, but that is also kind of what Army is known for, is finishing games strong. I think the point spread going to Michigan, you could argue that it's justified after what happened in week one, but you also look at around the entire college football landscape. There was a lot of teams that had to, knock some rust off in the first week, and some that just didn't get as fortunate as Army in escaping the upset. So I think they're just happy they won.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what matters the most, is obviously getting the win at the end of the day. And, for people that don't follow Army, this team has been really good the last few seasons. Three straight bowl game wins, a 10-win season in 2017, an 11-2 record last year. I remember watching them just dominate Houston in the bowl game. They put up 70 points in that one. They carry the second longest winning streak in football with 10 games in a row they've won. First, of course, is national champion Clemson. Just talk a little bit about the job that, head coach Jeff Monken and his staff have done there in turning around a team that really before 2016 hadn't had a winning season there since 2010.
Yeah, this is entirely new to some of the fans who've been covering or watching the team for decades. They've been really, really bad for really, really long, and it wasn't until, like you said, 2016 that things started to turn around with them having back-to-back 10-win seasons, and then the year before that, an 8-win season. But before that, it was, they'd win a few games a year, and there wouldn't be a bowl game. They'd lose to Navy most of those years, which is obviously the game that this team takes the most pride in each year. And so it was really, really bad for really long. And so now that they have turned things around, there's a lot of excitement. Even at the Rice game, it wasn't a full crowd, but you could tell that there was excitement around this team, even for some of the games that aren't as notable, like the Michigan game. So, there's a lot of excitement building around this team. But the one thing that they haven't done yet is they haven't beaten, they haven't gotten that marquee win. They almost beat Oklahoma last year. They've played teams like Stanford, Penn State, Notre Dame, and they haven't been able to get that win. So this week is really important for this team, especially if you look at the rest of their schedule. Michigan's the only team that will probably be ranked all year on their schedule. So, it's a big one.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. I know, Michigan's favored in every game they play in this year. Army, other than the Michigan game, I saw was favored in every game that they'll play. We're so used to it, in Michigan, there's always these astronomical expectations of the football team each and every year, regardless of what they did the previous year. Do you get that sense that Army's feeling some of that same pressure after, that big year last year?
I don't think they're going to admit it. Asked the coach the same thing, Coach Munkin, and he hasn't admitted to the fact that there's any extra pressure to do even better than 10 wins or 11 wins as they had last year. But I think that internally, I'm sure that there's pressure to win a game like Michigan, because if they what a losing team is you know, predicted by many. The best they can do is, you know, win every game that they're expected to win. And then it wouldn't necessarily be an improvement over last year. So I think that this game, I can't overstate the importance of what it means to this program, just in taking that extra step forward. And I think that a lot of people will start to talk about, you know, can this team go undefeated if they beat Michigan, because it is the toughest game on their schedule. And so I think it would open up a lot of discussion as to, you know, just how far Army has come if they were to win this game. If they were to lose this game, I could, you know, it's hard to see them really taking a huge step forward from where they've gone, aside from maybe an extra win.
Sure. Now, playing a service academy like Army, that presents quite some challenges for opposing teams. Coach Harbaugh said that defensive coordinator Dom Brown spent a lot of time this offseason preparing for the game. What makes Army so tough to prepare for defensively?
I think that you look at Army's offense, and it's one of the only triple option offenses that is run in the country. So I think I've seen a tweet by Nicole Auerbach, who spoke to Michigan defensive coordinator, and said that, you know, they've been preparing for this offense since the spring, and it's something that a lot of teams spend months and months preparing for because it is so different, because Army doesn't pass, you know, hardly at all, and there's a lot of trickery involved in the backfield, a lot of different backs, and especially this year there's a lot of guys who haven't played a ton, so it's preparing for guys you haven't seen a lot of. And I think with that week one game, Rice showed that they had been able to prepare for their week one opponent, you know, since the early days of spring, because that was their first game on the schedule, and they showed up very prepared to handle Army's triple option. So yeah, it's something that I think that a lot of teams, not just Michigan and Rice, but everyone that Army faces, they, you know, notice that Army's on their schedule, and they start preparing, you know, a lot further ahead than just the, you know, the week that they're playing them, because they need that extra preparation.
Yeah, it's definitely unlike any other offense that I know Michigan will play this year. And let's talk about, I mean, that offense for Army. It all starts with the quarterback, Kelvin Hopkins, first quarterback in Army history to rush and pass for 1,000 yards apiece last season. He's a guy that looks like he can just play running back at most Power 5 schools. I mean, what makes him so effective at running this option attack for the Black Knights?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at week one, he ran it more than any other player. He had 21 carries. He only had 3 completions. So, like I said, it is a different type of offense that you see at Army. He's a big physical guy. He's a better thrower than a lot of the quarterbacks they've had recently. But, yeah, his bread and butter is running the ball. And a big part of what we may see at Michigan is the starting fullback for Army, Connor Slomka, is out with an injury in week one. It's still uncertain if he will be back week two. Markin said he's hopeful, but if he doesn't play in that game, I would expect to see Hopkins maybe get a majority of the carries again. So, yeah, it's definitely a different kind of thing to see the quarterback taking the majority of the carries and, you know, barely throwing it at all. But a lot of times it is effective for Army, and we'll see if it works out against a tougher Michigan defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about Hopkins. We talked about Slomka, if he's able to come back and play. Who else on that Army offense does Michigan really need to key on defensively?
I think with Kel Walker, he's the guy that caught the touchdown in the fourth quarter to end up winning the game. And he's probably the most dangerous offensive weapon outside of Hopkins. He's a slot back, which means, you know, he carries the ball sometimes. He goes out for receptions. He's definitely improved over the offseason on catching the ball. And it was, kind of a funny thing that Army barely threw the ball, but they ended up winning on a touchdown pass. I don't know if, they're trying to pass it more. I think they're trying to stick to their game plan. But when they're playing a team like Michigan, they're going to be passing it at some point if they, you know, get down a couple scores early. And so I would expect to see them throwing it a good bit more, maybe not too much more, because that's know, they don't throw it a lot regardless. they're known for having those long drives. The two scoring drives they had in week one were a 90-plus yard drive. So they like to take their time. They like to run down the clock. But, you know, a guy like Kel Walker is going to definitely show up in the stat sheet, whether it be with running the ball or receiving.
We're talking to Justin Fetich. He covers Army football for the Times Herald Record. We talked about the offense, and, you know, when you shift to the defense, you know, I know there's a lot of people will look at that Army offense and do a lot of things that you talked about. You know, they like those long drives and wear down the clock, and they don't throw the ball a lot. You know, don't be surprised if there's only a couple pass attempts in each game. But, you know, on the other side of the ball, I think they're pretty talented defensively, and it's got – there's a lot of talk last year about their 404 defense, they call it. I mean, can you kind of elaborate a bit more on how that defense operates? It seems like a pretty solid defensive style to go up against a more spread like team like the offense that Michigan's playing this year.
Yeah, the defense is the better unit on this team, I think, and they're the unit that's able to bail the offense out a lot of times when their drives are stalling. And even though Army did have that touchdown in week one against Rice, it was the defense that ended up making the crucial stop that was necessary. So, yeah, I think on the defensive front, they've got a lot of newer guys that are kind of rotating in and out. Then in you know, the linebacking core, they've got Cole Christensen is you know, one of their top tacklers from last year, or the top tackler from last year, and a young guy in Eric Smith who's really coming along and is probably going to be right up there with Christensen in tackles this year. And then their defensive backfield might be their best unit of the entire team. And guys like Elijah Riley at cornerback and Jalen McClinton, who made the crucial stop at the end of the game against Rice. And so they have a lot of talent, a lot of experience on the defense. And where there's not experience, like on the defensive line, they've got just a lot of guys that they can rotate in and out to keep them fresh. So yeah, there's a lot of things that they can do to really you know, try to stop Michigan. Although I think that there are some playmakers on the Michigan offense that may give Army a pretty tough time there.
Yeah, I think what was so impressive watching, I mean, particularly the bowl game against Houston and some of the other games I saw last year, was just that defense. It was kind of like this hybrid style all in that secondary. You know, you had your guys line up on the line. You've got, you know, you had a guy behind the nose guard that would pick up, you know, based on where the gaps were. That great linebacker you mentioned in Cole Christensen. But, you know, that rest of that secondary was just kind of like this hybrid style. Like, we're just going to go where we need to go, where the ball is. We're going to blitz as much as we need to. And it seemed like a very effective defense for an offense that likes to wind down the clock, you know, for that defense to be able to come in and, you know, get the stops when necessary. It seems like a pretty good 1-2 punch, right?
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of terms that they use on defense at Army that I hadn't heard much of before I got here, which, you know, like, boundary corner and, you know, instead of, you know, just one person being an outside linebacker, sometimes they're a pass rusher, sometimes they are linebackers. So there's a lot of guys that can play multiple roles. Like Jalen McClinton, for example, their free safety, has played every single position in the defensive backfield. So just a lot of versatility, and that's something that they preach at Army, is that you will likely start out at a certain position and you might be in a different position by the end of your Army career. You know, a guy like one of their backup fullbacks, Rashad Bolton, was a linebacker when he first got to Army. And, you know, there's a lot of guys like that that maybe started at one position and are somewhere completely different. And I think that helps them be really versatile, especially in the defense where, you know, you may play one role, but you may be expected to play a whole other role by the end of the season. So, yeah, it's definitely a strength of the Army team.
Yeah, absolutely. One area we didn't talk about yet was special teams. You know, what can we look for from Army special teams in the game on Saturday?
So the kicker is a freshman, Cole Talley. So he ended up winning the job out of camp. He only kicked a couple of extra points in the first game. He made a 45-yard field goal in one of the scrimmages. So we haven't seen much of him, but Coach Munkin's really excited about him. And then Zach Potter, the punter, he had a few short punts. And then he ended up inning Rice in, you know, the 6-yard line. So it, good and bad in the first game, and he's a guy that didn't get a ton of time either last year. So two new guys that are, you know, pretty good, but we haven't seen enough of to really make a judgment off of yet. And as far as the return game, I didn't see, you know, any huge returns yet, and there's, I think they've got, you know, like a lot of positions, a return, rotating cast of different guys that they put out there. So, yeah, special teams, I think it's a wait and see. We're not sure exactly how good they can be.
All right, so if Army were to spring the upset on Michigan in the Big House on Saturday, what do you think would have to happen?
I think it starts with the offense. I think that they can't start the same way that they did against Rice with their drive stalling out. And there was actually a play early in the Rice game where they went third and fourth and one at their own 15. So I think that if they're going to take those risks again, they have to pay off. So if they're going to, you know, go for it on fourth and short, which Munkin loves to do, I think they've got to be near 100% on that. And then I think the defense needs to be able to shut down some of Michigan's playmakers, or at least limit them. I know that the freshman running back, Charbonnet, is really, you know, making waves and drawing headlines. And then, of course, Shea Patterson is, you know, doing his thing again. He threw for, what, 3 touchdowns in the opener? So I think that it needs to be a close game going into the fourth quarter, and that's where Army can, you know, try to pull off the upset. But if they get behind too early, this is not a team that can, you know, throw it 20-plus times and make a huge comeback, because that's just not how this team is built. So it's a lot of it, you know, I guess it sounds cliche, but it's about starting early and giving yourself putting yourself in position to be able to finish and put together a drive at the end.
Well, we're looking forward to the game on Saturday. He's Justin Fetich. You can he covers Army football, I should say, for the Times Herald Record on Twitter at JFetich, THR. Justin, thank you so much for the time today. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's now time for my weekly picks. As always, I'll pick 4 games. One of those games will be my lock of the week. Great week 1, went 3-1, hit the lock of the week. Boston College, they never let me down. AJ Dillon, I'm sending you some cupcakes, but you got to eat those after the season because I don't want to slow you down in that backfield. Also hit on LSU and Stanford and missed on the Oregon game. All I needed was Bo Nix to set that team up for a field goal instead of scoring the touchdown. But either way, a 3-1 week is a good week, a profitable week, and we'll try and do it again this week. I'm going to start out with our lovely friends in Kalamazoo. I teased this earlier. They're taking on those pesky Spartans in East Lansing. Sparty's a 16-point favorite in this game, and until I see them actually do something on offense, I do not expect them to win by 16 points. How can you bet on Michigan State to win by 16 points when they have not done anything offensively? And look, if they do and they beat up on Western Michigan, then good for them. They prove me wrong. But I just don't see them winning this game by more than 16. They did nothing exciting on offense last week. The running game was brutal. And on the other side, Sparty has a great defense, but I think the Broncos are going to figure out a way to stretch them out. They've got their dude back at quarterback in John Wasink. He was on fire last week. He was 20 for 25, 368 yards and 5 touchdowns. Unfortunately, he doesn't have much of a running game behind him, so you think Michigan State will certainly key in on the passing game. Michigan State 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 games. Fight, Broncos, fight. Fight with all your might. Western, don't let Sparty cover the spread. Plus 16. As you know, I'm never afraid to pick the big games, and I'm going to go with a home underdog here in a massive game for both programs on Saturday. That is Texas at home. They opened a 3.5-point dog to LSU. It's now at 6, and I think it might go even higher. Here's a stat you need to know. Texas head coach Tom Herman, his teams, since 2015, have been underdogs 16 times, and they've gone 13-2-1 against the spread in those games. That's incredible. And then of those games that were at home, they've gone 4-0-1. The higher this number climbs, the better the value here. This isn't so much me hating on LSU because I really like their team. They covered for me in the pick segment last week. I love that defense. I love what Joe Burrow is doing at quarterback, but I don't know how you can possibly go against those against the spread numbers for Texas and how impressive Tom Herman's teams have been as underdogs. And I think this is a great game. It's a tough game at home. They could possibly win the game outright, but as that number soars and right now they're 6-point underdogs, I will take Texas in that one. Next up, let's go to the Pac-12. I love Washington. They're 13.5-point favorites at home against Cal. Transfer Jacob Eason is a tremendous quarterback. He looked so good for the Huskies last week. Add to the fact there's some revenge factor. They went down to Cal last year and lost that game, had some issues there. This is a totally different team this year. I think Washington is a super difficult place to play. Cal really struggled last week against an FCS school in UC Davis. I will take Washington to cover the 13.5. And my lock of the week, I am buying the Wyoming hype after their huge win in Laramie against Missouri last week. The stat you need to know, Wyoming 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games overall. They play Texas State, who's 3-7 against the spread in their last 10, and 2-5 in their last 7 non-conference game. I would love this game even more if Wyoming was at home, but Texas State just looked horrible against the Texas A&M defense last week. That's good, but I don't think they're great. And I think you'll see Clemson torch that defense this week, but they got pounded in that one 41-7. I think there's just too much inconsistency on offense for Texas State. Wyoming on the road, a 7-point favorite. I love them to get the cover here. They are my lock of the week. And now to the game that matters most on Saturday. It's the 7th-ranked Wolverines taking on the Army Black Knights, a 12-noon game in Ann Arbor. If you're watching that game on TV, that is the Fox National Game of the Week, Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt on the call. If you're tuning in on radio on the numerous stations that cover Michigan football, you'll get the call from the Michigan Radio Network with Jim Brandstander and Dan Dierdorf. So it's the 10th meeting all time between Michigan and Army, the first matchup since 1962. And how about this stat? Of the teams that have played Michigan at least 8 times, Army is one of only 3 teams that currently hold a winning record against Michigan. How crazy is that? Army leads this series 5-4, the other 2 teams, USC and Cornell. Of course, Michigan hopes to make that only 2 teams by getting back to 500 against Army with a win this weekend. And some of the stats favor Michigan here in that Jim Harbaugh is 11-0 at home against non-conference opponents in his tenure at Michigan, looking to grab his 12th win. I tell you, it's really an intriguing game on Saturday because we keep hearing about how tough it is to prepare to play against a service academy, and Army by far the toughest service academy in the country. Winners of 10 straight games, they dismantled Houston in the bowl game last year, they took Oklahoma to overtime last year, we saw the challenges Michigan had against Air Force in previous years. This is by far no cakewalk for the Wolverines. And ultimately, I think this game comes down to Michigan's ability to stop Army early and often on drives. Army, we know they like to control the time of possession. They like to drain down the clock. You know, they live for those 15, 16 play, 70 to 80 yard touchdown drives that suck up 8 or 9 minutes of play time. It's basically the bow type of play calling and play structure. It's their recipe for success. And it gives the opposing offenses a lot less room for error when they get the ball offensively because they need to be efficient and end their drives in points because Army controls the ball for that long. So the key here in this game is really Michigan's ability to get their defense off the field early on drives and limit Army to negative yards or short yards on first and second down. If we're seeing a game unfold on Saturday and Army's on 3rd down and 5 or longer quite often, then Michigan is going to have no problem winning this game. If you're seeing 3rd down and short and successful 4th down tries, which we know Army likes to do, and they're keeping the ball and that play clock is draining down a lot, it can be a lot tougher game on Saturday. On the other side of the ball, I think offensively, Michigan style matches up really well against the Army defense. They like to get the ball out to the playmakers in space. If Michigan can continue to improve that offense from what we saw last week from a 400 plus yard effort, then Michigan will win those one-on-one matchups on the outside. And most importantly, if they can protect the ball and not afford turnovers against Army here, they really should not have much problems here offensively. So it's a hard game to predict. You know, playing the service academies always makes those games really hard to figure out who's going to win and what the score is going to be and so on. But I really do give the edge to Michigan here. I don't think this game is sneaking up on them. Army, and we've heard a lot of talk about Army. We know that they've won 10 in a row. The expectations are high out there. This isn't a team that's coming in and really sneaking up on Michigan. And if there's any coordinator in the country that can get his defense prepared to play against this option attack, I have a lot of faith in Don Brown. He's coached against it before. He's got a defensive line coach in Sean Nua, who played against it every year when he was at BYU. And I think this coaching staff will have Michigan prepared and ready for Saturday. Now look, I don't expect Michigan to put up 40 points in this one. There just won't be as many possessions offensively as you're accustomed to seeing based on how Army plays. But I don't expect the defense to give up 20 plus points either like they did last week. So my final score prediction, Michigan 34, Army 13. And that will do it for this week's edition of Hail to the Pod. Big thank you to my guest, Justin Fetich, for helping to break down Army and the matchup this weekend. And thank you, as always, for listening. You can email the show, hailtothepod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, @krich23. And download and subscribe to the podcast anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. You can find it on Google Play, Apple iTunes, and Spotify, as well as other places you like to enjoy your podcasts. Enjoy the game this weekend, and as always, go Blue.